morning, everyone. So once again, I am grateful for once again for this opportunity to once again stand behind the pulpit to share to you the Word of God. So the text that I will be sharing to us today is I was thinking about it, but we were having a meeting once, the elders' meeting, and Pastor Lawrence gave us a crash course on how to do a sermon. So he gave us the pointers how to do it, and the verse that Pastor Lawrence told us to try and do a quick outline. So this was it. So it was Psalms 1. Actually, Psalm 1 to 6. But I would like to share to you just Psalm 1, 1 to 3. So the other half of Psalm, it talks about the ungodly person but I would share to you not how the ungodly person will perish, but I'll be sharing to you the way of the righteous. So, okay, so Psalms 1 begins by identifying the man who is blessed. So the first word there is blessed is the one. But in other translation, it says, blessed is the man. So the word blessed in the Hebrew Old Testament is actually a plural form. So therefore, the words blessed is the man may be rendered blessings to the man. So also the word for man in this context refers to human beings in general. So before, they don't count women as part of this one. That's why when they wrote the Bible, it's like when you say man, it's universal. But actually, this refers just to the man, literally. So, but in this context, man is referred to in general, the human beings. It means to say that it's a man and woman. So this verse describes a downward spiral. So if you notice at this verse, even though it's a positive on this side, but if you look at it carefully, it is like a spiral case when you go down. So it's like that. So first is willingness to be influenced by the ungodly, followed by entering into fellowship with them, followed by joining in their scornful attitudes and behavior. So that's what usually happens. So if we are influenced by the ungodly, so the next thing will be entering into fellowship with them, and then the next thing will be joining them. So Christians today need to lead a righteous life, refusing to be influenced by godless attitudes. Despite the temptations of popularity or comfort, believers should not side with those who disdain God's standards of righteousness. So Ephesians 5, 6 to 8 states, Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. So someone introduces the concept of blessedness, stating that a person is blessed when they choose not to follow the ways of the wicked, sinners, and mockers. It sets a contrast between a righteous path and a path of ungodliness, emphasizing the importance of wise choices in relationships and influence. Blessed is the man, this phrase introduces the central theme of the psalm, happiness and well-being achieved through a righteous life. So today I will be sharing to you three points. So first is what a righteous does not do. The second is what the righteous does. And the third one is how the righteous is blessed. So why is the righteous called blessed? So our text today, I'm using the NIV version of the Bible. So usually we heard most of the time they used the New King James version. So the New King, because for me the NIV is more you can understand easily compared to some other version. So the version of New King James says, so this would be just Psalms 1:1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But on the other hand, the NIV version, it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. So there you can see the difference, but actually it's just the same, but it's just how the wording was being used. Or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. So being scornful and being a mocker, just the same, just as synonymous. So the Hebrew word Isher is translated blessed, so which has the idea of happiness or contentment. So we already know what blessed means, because many sermons back, Pastor was explaining what blessedness means. So Isher is a form of the Hebrew word Ashar, which in its root means to be straight or to be right. Blessed speaks of happiness or contentment of the man who is right or straight with God. The righteous man will be blessed, will be a blessed man. So Charles Spurgeon said, it is not the blessed is the king, blessed is the scholar, or blessed is the rich, but blessed is the man. So this blessedness is as attainable by the poor, the forgotten, and the obscure, as by those whose names figure in history and are trumpeted by fame. So this blessedness is not just pertaining to a person who is well known, but it could be also attainable by the poor, the forgotten, and the obscure. So we can also be called blessed if we are not famous. So blessed, the blessed man does not do certain things. There is a way he will not walk, a path he will not stand in, and a seat he will not sit in. We can say, this speak of thinking, behaving, and belonging. The righteous and the ungodly are different in how they think, behave, and whom they belong. So we'll be going to our first point, which is what a righteous does not do. So he does not walk in step with the wicked. So that is verse 1. So this is demonstrated in the story of King Joas of Judah and his uncle Jehoiada. So if you want to know more about of the story, it is found in 2 Chronicles 24:1-22. So the story of Joas is a good example of what a righteous man does not do. But on the other hand, King Joas was doing the opposite. So Jehoiada, which is the uncle of Joas by marriage, because Joas' aunt was married to Jehoiada. So Jehoiada, a wise counselor, influenced Joas to live a God-honoring life. The problem was that Joas did not embrace an honorable life as his own. So after Jehoiada died, the officials of Judah came and paid homage to the king, and he listened to them. King Joas left, and because of that, King Joas left the house of the Lord and began to worship in a pagan way. So Joas was influenced by this ungodly people. So in the end, Joas turned and became so evil that he had Jehoiada's son murdered, which is his cousin. So having someone in our lives to guide us toward faith and Christ-likeness can be good and helpful. Even better is getting to know the Lord ourselves and learning to rely on the Holy Spirit to be our guide. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The hunter's deception reminds us of Jesus' words. So do you know what a hunter do when he's hunting? So during olden times, they wear camouflages to keep the prey that he would be unnoticeable by the prey. So they were, if they are hunting for a goat, so they would be wearing like a sheep, like the fur of a goat, so that they would so that the goat that they are going to kill would not they would be fooled by the hunter. So that is what the hunters do when they are hunting. So deception. So it reminds us of Jesus' words: beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So that is Matthew 7:15. So false teachers do not bear the fruit of God's Spirit. Rather, they walk according to the flesh and despise authority. 2 Peter 2:10. They are bold, egotistical, and given to greed, ruled by their own desire they exploit people by using deceptive words. The Bible says these wayward spiritual leaders are headed for destruction and will take many unsuspecting and undiscerning people with them. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, rather than pursuing personal gain, laid down his life for his sheep. God does not want anyone to be misled by false teaching. He wants us to be more, to be aware of those who deceive and follow him instead, the true shepherd of our souls. With all the advice that comes to us from so many different sources, the righteous know how to stay away from the counsel of the ungodly. It means the righteous knows how to discern the counsel of the ungodly. Many of us fail at this point, so which is true. We do not even consider if advice is godly or ungodly. We hear opinions or theories about our problem and find ourselves agreeing or disagreeing without considering if this is godly or ungodly guidance. The righteous also is also discerning enough to know the advice of the ungodly can come from one's own self. So even the advice, sometimes we decide on our own, so even it comes in our own, sometimes we can deceive ourselves. Our own conscience, our mind, our heart can give us ungodly counsel, but the righteous knows where to find completely godly direction. In Psalms 119:24, it says, "Your statutes are my delight, they are my counselors." God's word is always the best counselor, and godly counselor will always bring the truth of God's word to help us who wants counseling. So the second is what does a righteous does not do? It does not stand in the path that sinners take. So it is still found in verse 1, but in second sentence. So it says there, or stand in the way that sinners take. So sinners have a path where they stand, and the righteous knows he does not belong on that path. Path speaks of a way, a road, a direction, and the righteous does not travel in that directions as sinners. The righteous is not afraid to take a less traveled road because he knows it leads to blessing, happiness, and eternal life. So Matthew 17:13 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." The righteous can have the confidence of Psalm 16:11, which says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Your right hand are pleasures forevermore." God has a path, and it is a good road to take. So the third point is, what a righteous does not do does not sit in the company of mockers. So in his epistle, James addressed a universal theme in human history when he wrote about the damage of uncontrolled tongue can bring. He says, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So that is in James 3:8. So when we are gossiping or speaking in anger, we find ourselves outside the lines of what God desires. Our tongue, our pens, or even the keyboards as we are using now, which is high-tech for the computer, should more often fall silent with thanks in our heart for the restraint God provides. All too often we speak, we remind everyone of our brokenness as human beings. When we want to surprise others with the difference Christ makes, we may need to look no further than restraining our tongue. Others can't help but notice when we honor God with what we say or don't say. So Proverbs 21:23. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. The scornful love to sit and criticize the people of God and the things of God. When others are putting down Christians, it is easy to sit with them and criticize them. It is easy because there are many things to criticize about Christians, but it is wrong because we are then sitting in the seat of the scornful. Instead, we should be proud to follow Jesus Christ. But I think this last statement, I think we could sometimes empathize with this statement that sometimes we are putting others and then we criticize them. So without even knowing that we are already sitting in the seat of the scornful. So my point, number 2 point, what a righteous does. So the first point is what a righteous does not do, but this one is what a righteous does. So what does a righteous man does? So it's in verse 2. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord? Throughout Psalms, the phrase law of the Lord is used to describe God's entire word, not only the law portion of the first 5 books of the Bible. So what makes us happy? What gets us excited? This is a good way to see what is important to us. If personal pleasure is the only thing that makes us happy, then we are selfish human beings. We are self-centered. If being with our family or friends delight us, that can be better. But it still falls short. The righteous finds delight in the law of the Lord. So everything still falls short, because the only way that we can find delight is in the law of the Lord. Second point is, he meditates God's law day and night. So that's what the righteous man do. He meditates God's law day and night. A knowledge of the Bible is important, but God desires us to be saturated with his word and to internalize it so we can grow in our relationship with him. So Ephesians 4:20-24 says, the Holy Spirit uses the word to make us more like Christ. So let us consider the benefits of internalizing the Bible. So if we want joy and rejoicing, we can find that one in Jeremiah 15:16. So if we want spiritual success, then we can read Joshua 1:8. It's also a tool in spiritual warfare. So that is in Matthew 4:1-11. For correction, it is found in 2 Timothy 3:13-16. Light for our path, Psalms 119:105. Wisdom with problem solving, it is in Proverbs 1:1-2. Stimulating faith is in Romans 10:17. So learning about the Bible just to increase our knowledge can lead to spiritual pride. 1 Corinthians 8:1. But allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us by the word helps navigate through life's twists and turns and respond in love to God and to each other. The righteous ponders the word of God. He does not just hear and forget it. He thinks about it and does it as well. So it is found in James 1:22. Christians should meditate on God's word. So we do not just need to just read the Bible and then afterwards close it. So we have to meditate on God's word. So in Eastern meditation, so some people are practicing meditation. It is a form of emptying your mind. So that is in Eastern meditation. So their goal is to empty the mind. But the problem is, this is very dangerous, because an empty mind may present an open invitation to deception or a demonic spirit. But in Christian meditation, the goal is to fill our mind with the word of God. So this can be done by carefully thinking about each word and phrase, applying it to oneself, and praying it back to the Lord. So Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So Luke 11:28 says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. When we come together to hear God's word preached, not only does it strengthen our faith, but our hearts and mind are shaped by his truth. So that's why it is important that we go to church and listen to the word of God and meditate on it. because it will strengthen our faith. So my third point is, how is the righteous blessed? So what is a righteous man called blessed? So in chapter 3, it says there, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So a tree by a river has a continual source of water. It will never wither away because it is always getting what it needs. If we are constantly needy, it may be worth examining if we are planted by the rivers of water or not. This would also be a tree that is strong and stable. So the tree that grows by the river is strong and stable. Why? Because its root sinks deep down. The life of a righteous is marked by strength and stability. John 4:14 says, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. So my second point is, how is the righteous blessed? He brings forth fruit in its season. When the righteous bear fruits, such as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So the fruit that is referred here is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus spoke of bearing fruit in John 15:5, as we abide in Him. So when we abide in God, we will bear fruit. So that is what John 15:5 says. Fruit also has a season. We all know that, right? Because not every day we can have a certain fruit and then have it the rest of the year. It's always, they always have a season. Some that get discouraged when they begin to walk a righteous life and the fruit is not immediately evident. So, which is true. Sometimes when we are passionate about God, sometimes we get discouraged because we want to immediately see the fruits. But as I have said before, fruit has a season. So we just need to wait until that fruit bears. So there is always a time for everything. So we just have to be patient, because when we are patient, so everything will fall in its right place. So the last time I was here, I was mentioning about being still. So that is it. So being still in God, we have to wait for Him. So my third point is, how is the righteous blessed? So his leaf shall not wither. So brown, dead, withered leaves are signs of death and dryness. The righteous that does not have these signs of death and dryness, his leaves are green and olive. So the reason for this is because the righteous is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So when we are besides a water, or if we are planted by the rivers of water, you cannot see trees that has dead leaves, because the tree is being nourished every time. And my fourth point is how is the righteous blessed is whatever he does shall prosper. It isn't that the righteous has a Midas touch and everything he does makes him rich and comfortable, but in the life of the righteous, God brings forth something good and wonderful out of everything. Even tough circumstances can bring forth something that shall prosper. So to end I'll not call this one sermon, but it's like sharing to you the word of God. So I'll end this with a famous Spanish proverb. I think you have heard this one. So this is a famous Spanish proverb. So I'll not be speaking in Spanish, but I'll tell you the literal meaning of this. So it says here, "Tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are." Sounds familiar? So what does it mean? So it simply suggests that people we associate with can reflect our own character, values, and behavior. From shaping our behavior to influencing our values, friends play a crucial role in defining who we are. That's why it's so important to choose our friends wisely and be mindful of the company we keep. The right friendship will lift us up, inspires us, and help us grow into the best version of ourselves. So the way King Solomon puts it is, "The one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm." So that is, we can find that one in Proverbs 13:20. And also in Proverbs 13:3, it says, "Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin." We can choose to follow God and experience goodness and abundance in this life.